Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Netflix's growing collection of talk variety sketch series expands Sunday thanks to The Break with Michelle Wolf. Executive producers Dan Powell and Christine Nangle join me next in an internet radio exclusive. On Memorial Day Monday, the big parade of the bunch will happen in Washington, D.C. You can see it anywhere via local television stations and YouTube. Parade director Tim Hobart connects from D.C. later this hour. Also ahead, Keith Olbermann's next ESPN Life, our classic trivia question of the week, Tata 2's progress in our Up segment, and we remember Clint Walker, a pioneering Western and TV drama star. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and presenting on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 85 degrees at the top of this hour, and we welcome you on the day before Memorial Day weekend to the program All About Television. 90-minute edition, wrapping up the week with you, and we appreciate you being aboard. Some great guests coming your way along the way, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a call from you. To pick up the phone and dial in, here's the number to use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We have our chat room in business as well. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find it at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Guest 172 already in the room. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Dan Powell and Christine Nangle from The Break with Michelle Wolf from Netflix comes your way from New York after these news notes. Look for more Keith Olbermann on ESPN in the months ahead. Under a new deal with the All Sports Channel, Olbermann will get anchor 20 upcoming 11 p.m. editions of SportsCenter and host or co-host episodes of other ESPN series, including Baseball Tonight, Pardon the Interruption, and Outside the Line. His next assignment, play-by-play baseball Memorial Day over ESPN Radio. I might add the Yankees are one of the teams in that play-by-play. Actor Simon Pegg and Nick Frost have set up a venture to launch drama series from new writing talent. Three programs are in development, detective tale We Never Sleep, speculative drama Chemistry, and paranormal dramedy Truth Seekers. The venture will develop through Pegg and Frost's Stolen Pictures Company based in the United Kingdom. And that is news notes for this day before Memorial Day weekend. If you've been checking out Netflix lately, you know that they have really branched out in a very interesting way beyond dramas, comedies, and shows for young people. We're talking about talk, variety, and sketch comedy shows like The Joel McHale Show, The David Letterman Specials, and Bill Nye the Science Guy's new series. Well, on Sunday you can add another set bunch. It's The Break with Michelle Wolf, the former talent from The Daily Show and Late Night with Seth Meyers. She's now on her own with a new sketch comedy variety series. And joining us live to talk about it here in New York are the two executive producers of the program, Dan Powell and Christine Nangle. Dan and Christine, welcome in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It is a pleasure. And Christine, we'll start with you. How long Michelle looked at doing her own series?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Sure. How long did Michelle look at doing her own series, and what had her decide at long last, let's go for it with Netflix?
I think she's wanted to do her own show for a long time. It's always been a goal of hers since she's been doing stand-up comedy. So it's been, you know, her goal, and then it was in the work. Obviously, these things are in the works a lot longer than people ever know about. So, but we've been working on this show. We kind of got the green light and started working a couple months ago, and working on pre-taping things and writing things, and we're excited to get started.
Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. So, Rick, if you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Dan, when you and Christine get the assignment to fashion a show around a talent like Michelle, who we've seen in different ways with Late Night, with The Daily Show, and more recently with all the, you might say, the noise she made at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last month, what goes into both of your minds about the kind of show you want to do with her?
Well, Michelle had already pitched the show without us and was looking for producers to bring on. So she'd already kind of had a overall sort of mission statement for what she wanted the show to be, which was, you know, it boils down to the title, The Break, where she wanted to do a show that, you know, is in the style of some of the late night and sketch variety type stuff. But, you know, so many of those shows right now are kind of chasing Trump specifically, what he's doing and what he's tweeting, and are very sort of Trump-centric, and they're doing a very good job of it. But she wanted to do something where, not that we're going to ignore anything that the president does, but just kind of we're not going to chase him. We can talk about the other stuff that's going on. And really the main thing was that she just wanted it to be funny first, where it's really just joke-driven and what the funniest things are, and that we could make fun of anyone, and, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat or whatever, or if it's not even a political issue at all, and just really make it more about the comedy and less sort of agenda-driven than some of the other shows in this genre have gotten. So, you know, she already had a couple segments in mind. She knew that she wanted the monologue to be a longer segment than most late-night monologues and done more in the style of stand-up than the sort of traditional, you know, late-night comedy host doing a handful of sort of set-up punchline-style jokes. So, you know, we really reverse-engineered the format of the show around kind of the key things that she wanted to do, and then it was just a lot about, like, filling in the rest of it, you know? So, especially on Netflix, where there are no commercial breaks, we had to figure out if you have a three-act structure, you know, how do we get from act to act? If there's going to be some of the stuff at a desk but no interviews, what are the desk pieces going to be? You know, what's she going to do there? We do have guests, but they're not interviews at all. So, you know, what we can do with guests that are comedy bits and scripted segments as opposed to just your traditional sort of late-night interview. That was kind of what we had to figure out in the first handful of weeks of doing the show, when we were simultaneously staffing up and getting our writers together.
Yeah. Christine, with the monologue, does she want a more intimate relationship with the audience? I'm assuming there will be a live audience on the show. If that's the case, does she want a more intimate relationship, like more back and forth? So it's not just like her saying what she wants to say, but she gets feedback from the audience, and then she incorporates it into her monologue.
In terms of feedback from the audience, what do you mean?
Whether it's just audience reaction, whatever she says, or something like she asked the audience for a suggestion, let's say, in terms of a topic to cover.
A
report.
Oh, it's all stuff that is, we're kind of, our writers put something together or, you know, compile ideas and suggestions and write jokes for what she ultimately puts into a monologue that feels more stand-up, more like stand-up. You know, she's got a microphone, and it's not kind of just standing in one place and delivering set-up punchline, the way you would maybe expect from a more traditional late-night show. I do think that it does feel a little bit more intimate just because it has more of a casual stand-up feel. But in terms of the audience, they're not, you know, really chiming in, except with hopefully
laughter.
Tanya, when Michelle proposed the show, did she suggest what topics or what issues she would like to address first, so that she gave you and Christine and the writers you have and Michelle altogether some framework, at least how the early episode should go?
You know, there are a handful of topics that, like, you know, some of them very, like, overarching, where, I mean, you know, recently we've been talking about, like, some of these, like, think pieces and the New York Times, and maybe that being something that she wants to talk about. And then their stuff is sort of like, you know, that's much more mundane, like everyday things that have nothing to do with, like, sociopolitical type things. But really, honestly, you know, it's been because it is a weekly show where it's more topical, and when we started this, it was several months ago, there was nothing like, oh, I want to talk about this on the show because, you know, obviously with it being 3 months away, we didn't know what would sort of be in the news at that particular time. So it was much more, the early stages of development were more like format and structure, and there are a number of sketches in the show, so it was like writing the sketches in advance and shooting some of them in advance. So the sketches are not quite as topical as like the monologue or some of the in-studio pieces, just because they're shot a little bit further in advance.
We're speaking with Dan Connell and Christine Mangold. They are the executive producers of Netflix's newest sketch talk variety show. It's The Break with Michelle Wolf. If you know the name, that's because of her work on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and before that, Late Night with Seth Meyers. And we've got the two executive producers, Dan Powell and Christine Mangle, with us live here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Applebaum with you live on this day before the Memorial Day weekend. We hope you're getting ready to have a great one wherever you are listening to us across the country, around the globe, on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Dan and Christine, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name, our friend Rick Webb from Philly, already in the room. We won't be with you on Monday because it's Memorial Day weekend, but we will be with you on Tuesday. And note the special time. It will not be our normal time of 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. It will be a couple of hours later. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. And an unscripted episode for you. Our first guest, the award-winning filmmaker Joe Berlinger, will join us. His latest project is on Stars, where he executive produced and directs Wrong Man. It's about people who've been wrongly incarcerated. He finds out why and whether or not they can get free with the right evidence. And then we will take a look at where ISIS is going or has gone, thanks to a new History Channel documentary miniseries that premieres Tuesday night. It's called Hunting ISIS. We'll have the director, Sebastino Tomada. That's all coming up on Monday, excuse me, Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday. Special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, right here. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Christine, take us into a typical week of this show getting produced. How does it go from figuring out what you're going to write, what the show's going to do, to getting it on Netflix?
Well, we're still figuring out what a typical week is going to look like. We haven't quite had any typical weeks. We just aired we filmed our first show last night, and it'll air on Netflix on Sunday. But so far, the process we've been working with is on Monday we meet and we kind of talk about what the big stories are, things we kind of maybe want to address in the show. Hopefully by then we kind of know if there's a guest, who the guest is going to be, and what we want to kind of do with the guest. We have sketches that we filmed in advance, but we're also, you know, have a pipeline for sketches, so people are also pitching new things or doing rewrites. So we're kind of Monday is more of an idea day, and it's a lot of just joke writing. People are prepping, writing for the jokes for the monologue, and we're building the monologue over the course of each day and reading more jokes. By Wednesday, we have our table read, where we read everything we think is going to maybe be in the show, and then after that we do kind of a big rewrite punch-up. And at that time we're also compiling all the graphics we need and clearing photos, et cetera, et cetera. And then on Thursday we film.
Mm-hmm. Is that the game plan, Dan, is that you go for Thursday or Thursday night, that's when you film and you tape before a live audience so that Netflix gets on time and you go on time on Sunday?
Yeah, that's correct. We shoot Thursday evening, and you know, and then it goes. I think it's dropped on the platforms specifically 12:01 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whatever you refer to, you know, as midnight on Saturday night into Sunday, but it's Pacific time. So you know, we are topical, but we also have to be cognizant of the fact that there's about a 48-hour gap between when we tape and when it goes live on Netflix. And then sometimes, you know, it might take a few days for people to find it, too.
How fast can you change on the fly? Like, what is, like, the ultimate drop date before Thursday where you have to switch out an element of the show for something else because of a breaking story?
Well, I mean, to the first part of your question, we can switch anything out up until the minute she walks on stage if it's more of a line or a joke or something like that. If you want to switch out a photograph or something, that's going to take a little longer because of all like the legal clearances that you need. But I don't think we really our goal isn't to be as up to the minute topical, like, oh, this thing just happened and we need to comment on it, because we have this like kind of 3-day lag between when we film and when we air. So it's more kind of bigger, broader stories rather than kind of, reacting to the very last thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Dan, what's Michelle's work ethic like doing a weekly show, because beforehand she's been doing daily shows, Daily Show and Late Night Seth Meyers, where you have to come up with material every day or every night for that night's show or for that that day's program. And here you have, at least for her, a little bit more time to develop a theme or develop a sketch idea than before.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Michelle has the strongest work ethic I've ever encountered. She's, you know, one of the best, if not the best and fastest joke writers I've ever seen. I mean, you know, I worked on The Daily Show. It was a while ago. I was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And, you know, so I have experience on that kind of sort of daily type show. And ultimately, it's not like, oh, this is four times easier because we're only shooting one show a week and they're shooting four. We put the same amount of work into it. It's just more we're honing the material for a longer amount of time. And also we're workshopping a lot more material and then just paring it down to, you know, what's in the show. Also, since we don't have a guest, you know, and every segment is scripted, that's just more time that we have to spend on really honing and refining the scripts. And of course, there's this sketch element that we have that does require a little bit more like prep time and post-production and things like that. So, I mean, we're working very, very hard on the show, I assure you. I don't think we've left. I think there were three nights last week where we did not leave before midnight.
Yeah.
You know, it is a very different type of thing just because it's a different way of sort of addressing the news, more in the vein of like, you know, broader themes and concepts that are in the news as opposed to the day-and-date news items.
Yeah. Christine, what do you mean by workshopping? And also, did Michelle come in with, let's say, some people in terms of guests that you would like to work with off the bat, or you like, and she suggested guests? Who's going to be on the first couple of weeks?
I don't think I can say. I don't think I'm allowed.
Our first show
is Amber Ruffin, who is a very funny writer and performer from Late Night with Seth Meyers, and that's someone who we really wanted to use because she's just so funny, and Michelle's worked with her a bunch, but Michelle has a lot of connections in the comedy world, so we're gonna draw on those a lot, In terms of workshopping, I think was the first part of your question. Were you asking me what do I mean by workshopping?
Yeah.
We generate a ton of material, and we just kind of want to see what works. So, you know, if we have an idea that's even like half formed, we have somebody write it up and we read it at the table to see how it sounds and if we want to move forward with it or revamp it or... you know, kind of make it something completely different. I think any writing in general, but a lot of comedy is just throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And in terms of trying to figure out a show from the beginning, I mean, Michelle came in with ideas about what she wanted to do, but there's still a lot to figure out about what the show even was. So there's, you know, we went down some roads that we realized, oh, like, this isn't what our show is. And, you know, let's course correct and move on to the next thing and figure out what's the voice of the show. But we're going in, you know, we filmed our first show last night. We still don't quite know what the show is. We're going to be figuring out as we go along.
Mm-hmm. Dan mentioned that he had worked on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Did you have a similar background before starting this, or is this a brand new territory for you, doing topical humor on a weekly basis?
Before this, I was the executive producer and head writer on a show called The President Show, which was a weekly topical comedy show that was hosted by Anthony Atamanik, who played Donald Trump, hosting his own late-night show. It was on Comedy Central. So this feels pretty natural, but I'm very relieved to not have to be focusing on Trump. I think I'm a lot healthier mentally.
Mm-hmm. By the way, wonderful show. Great job that you did with The President Show. I've seen a number of times on Comedy Central, and wonderful work on that show.
Great. You were the one that watched it. Thanks. Yeah.
Hopefully more than one. I'm honest, there was more than one. There was
We had a lot of really dedicated fans that I really appreciate. Yeah, it was fun.
The new Netflix show on the block is The Break with Michelle Wolf, and it premieres this Sunday. You can watch Netflix, by the way, if you have a smart television set or a smart TV device like Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Roku, and so forth. We got two executive producers of the show, Gary Powell and Christine Nagel. They both join me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this day before Memorial Day weekend 2018. And if you have a question or a comment for our guest, give us a call. We have a call coming in, but we'll take that in a second. Number 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, once again, our next episode is Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and our guest will be Joe Berlinger, the award-winning filmmaker behind the New Stars miniseries Wrong Man, and then followed by the director of the new History Channel series Hunting ISIS that begins on Tuesday night. It's director Sebastiano Tomada. It's all coming up on our special Tuesday edition after your Memorial Day weekend, 5 p.m. Eastern to Pacific. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Well, great to have you. Happy start of Memorial Day weekend to you. You're on the line with Dan and Christine from The Break.
Hey, Dan and Christine. I'm wondering, since both of you attended UCB and also you both have worked on shows, like female-funded shows, something that I had a problem with when I was there was like writing more female-funded shows and like just dealing with certain instances. So I'm wondering, like, what kind of advice you guys might have for especially like male producer, director, writers working on some of the newer shows, like an Amy Schumer or what you're doing now, like female-funded late-night comedy.
So you said you had a problem. You attended UCB as well?
Yes, yeah.
And
A little while back, it was it was more with one particular teacher, I guess, I had a problem with. The students, everything, and everybody else, like there wasn't any problem. But just one particular, I guess, like a feminist teacher, we butted heads a lot, I guess you would say. So it's something that's bothered me for a few years. And especially since Dan has worked successfully with so many, I don't know what to call it, like female-funded projects, like Beck, the film he just produced, and so almost for Christine, I'm wondering, like, what is it about Dan that makes him so successful working on female-funded projects?
I think Dan is a regular human being who enjoys working with other human beings. obviously I don't know what your experience was, but the most important thing is listening to other people and their perspectives and trying to make the funniest project. I've worked on a lot of shows, and Dan has too, where there's, you know, one lead person, and it's about how to execute that person's vision. And so at the end of the day, it's about what that person wants to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't particularly sought out, like, female-centric projects in my career necessarily. I just generally seek out the projects that are most interesting to me. I mean, I guess if I had to really unpack it, I would say that maybe just because there have been so many male-oriented projects throughout the years and so many male-driven projects that, like, projects helmed by female comedians were just by definition more interesting to me because they were more rare. But ultimately, in the day-to-day of it all, it's just we are trying to make the funniest thing possible and the sort of gender politics of it all doesn't really factor much into the day-to-day work. It's about, you know, working with funny people, you know, respecting everyone's ideas and letting the best ones kind of float to the top. And we've been in every writer's room I've worked in, there have been a lot of people where, you know, they don't necessarily have the same politics. They don't agree on everything at all. But there has to be that, you know, respect there where, like, you know, even if you're getting into sort of political argument at the end of the day, it's in the interest of finding what are core humorous elements about this that can be sort of exploited for satire. And then we buckle down and make the funniest thing we can. And again, it always has to be in service of the point of view of the host. You know, we've had writers that didn't have similar political opinions of our host, but they were still great writers because they knew how to adjust their voice and to reflect the point of view of the host.
Cool. That's great advice. The in service to the point of view of the host. I think that's the major take from this for myself. So thank you both, and continued success, and continued success with the great satire that both of you do. So definitely be watching this show.
Thanks, Rick.
Good luck to.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Have a super weekend, everybody down there in Philadelphia. Rick Whitmore, president from PA, this afternoon tomorrow will be televised. And speaking of other human beings, what's it been like to work with Netflix? It seems that they're trying to pioneer this new arena of talk, variety, sketch comedy, half hours or hours, whether it's David Letterman doing his thing, or Joe McHale doing his, or Michelle doing hers.
It's been interesting. I mean, they're really supportive, and it's very different than working with like a television network, because we don't have sponsors, so we have more freedom to make fun of people without worrying if they have a commercial on after we're over. They've been so much more open to letting us experiment and figure out what our show is. So that's been really cool. And it's exciting to be part of what seems like their new kind of wave of creative stuff that's going up.
And then before we go, do you get the sense as you're approaching episode one Sunday that there is a new spirit with Michelle, the fact that she has a project now her own, as opposed to doing something for somebody else, like a Seth Meyers or like a Trevor Noah, that it's sort of a bit of a liberation, taking herself to a whole different level?
I mean, I think she's very excited about being able to, be the host of the show as opposed to being in a supporting role or a contributing role. But she's very confident in her own comedic voice, and she's been working very hard at, comedy for a long time, so she's definitely ready. I am glad that, the White House Correspondents' Dinner sort of showed her in that light of, sort of commanding the stage and, sort of made her a household name in her own right as opposed to, say, a correspondent on The Daily Show or something like that. So I think that definitely helped reframe people's perspective of her, as well as her HBO special, Nice Lady, which if you haven't checked out, is one of the finest comedy specials in the last 10 years. It's incredibly good. We're hoping to sort of take some of that, a lot of the sort of style of commentary in Nice Lady, and inject that into the show over the course of the 10 episodes and hopefully more.
With emphasis, I have a hunch, on hopefully more, because she is
fantastic. Yep.
The break. Absolutely. The break with Michelle Wolf. It begins this Sunday on Netflix. And remember, you can catch Netflix if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Google Chromecast, TouchShed Wave, Amazon Fire, Nvidia Shield, you name the smart TV device or the smart TV set maker, chances are you can get Netflix. And for more details about the program and all of Netflix online, here's where you go, www.netflix.com. It's www.netflix.com. The break from Michelle Wolf starts this Sunday. Dan Powell, Christine Nagel, executive producers of the show, thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, a great start to Michelle's series, and hopefully this first 10-episode run, start of a great one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dan and Christine. Take care. Enjoy.
Take care. Bye.
Dan Powell, Christine Nagel from The Break with Michelle Wolf, joining us live here in New York. And now these words from the fine folks at Audible.com. CNN anchor Jake Tapper has got a brand new book out. It's called Hellfire Club. And yes, it's all about the politics of Washington, D.C. And you can get it for yourself. How? Listen through audible.com to specifically a trial run that lasts a month with great audio in store for you. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information, inspiration as well, too, with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or the IR Radio Podcast Network. Remember, if you sign it up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of the service, and a great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, Audible is a big supporter of television, too. That's why, for the second year in a row, they are one of the development partners of the annual New York Television Festival coming back to the Apple this July. So hear for yourself why at Audible.com, listening is the new reading that can transform the way you hear the world. For that free audiobook, one-month trial, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, our Cottage Trivia Question of the Week, our salute to a pioneer of both TV drama and Western, Clint Walker of Cheyenne fame, who died earlier this week. And then we'll go live to Washington, D.C., and we'll meet up with the person who's calling the shots on the annual Memorial Day Parade coming up Monday on TV stations and YouTube across the country, Tim Hulbert. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet. It's www.blogtalkradio.com for the 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. You're also being heard live on Spreaker.com, another great site for terrific internet radio and podcast programming. At Blog Talk Radio, it's your home for the B-side. Check it out Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, a different kind of musical experience, the B-side, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised on this day before the Memorial Day weekend in May 2018. 85 degrees, beautiful on the top of the hour. It's not humid, it's gorgeous outside the tri-state metropolitan area. And delighted to have you aboard for the program All About Television. Simon Applebaum here with you. We have more guests coming your way over the next hour. And we invite you, of course, to be part of the program. If you haven't done so already, make a call. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick, our friend from Philadelphia, still in the room. Coming up next, our tribute to Clint Walker, the actor, big, tall, handsome, and soft-spoken too, who passed away earlier this week in his 90s. But first, our classic trivia question of the week. We're still looking for our latest winner, our fourth in 6 weeks, and whoever gets the first correct answer will win the new National Geographic paperback of Frankenstein's classic, or I should say Mary Shelley's classic, Frankenstein. Mary Shelley, by the way, is the topic of the third season next year of Genius, the Emmy-nominated series that Antonio Banderas is currently involved with, playing Pablo Picasso. Here's the question. On the just-completed Fox series New Girl, where did New Girl live before moving to Los Angeles? Where did New Girl live before moving to Los Angeles? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, please enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, courtesy of National Geographic. And if you just missed the question, we'll see if we can do it before the end of the show. If not, we will post it Saturday morning on Facebook and also on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved. After all, we got a prize, and we'd love to have you win, especially if you've never won before. It's a great way to do it. So get in the game and win, and all the very best. Coming up later this half hour, we will go live to Washington, D.C., and we'll speak with Tim Hulbert. He is the Senior Vice President of the American Veterans Center, but more importantly, he is the Director of the annual Washington, D.C. Memorial Day Parade, the biggest of the bunch of Memorial Day Parades happening around this U.S. of A. And this Memorial Day Parade, number 15, is going to be presented live on many television stations around the country, taped delayed on others, and will also run live on YouTube, which, of course, is also available on smart TV sets and smart devices. So Tim will be joining us live from D.C. to talk about where the parade is going and who is going to be taking part. But first, an appreciative comment. Earlier this week, someone who was not only a terrific actor, but really, in a way, a pioneer in television passed away. His name is Clint Walker. And Clint was the star of the first television series that Warner Brothers ever did back in 1955. At the time, television studios were not involved in television making. They were involved in motion pictures. And basically, studios were not out, were just not in the pick. Basically, it was independent production companies like ZIV and Review Studios, and of course the broadcast networks in making shows, whether it was anthologies like Playhouse 90 or Studio One or Philco Goodyear Television Playhouse or variety shows like the Colgate Comedy Hour. But in 1955, Warner Brothers decided to try television, and they did so with an anthology series called Warner Brothers Presents, all on film. There were three elements, all based on different material. There was Casablanca, based on that famous Humphrey Bogart, Ingmar Bergman film, Oscar winner for Best Picture back, I think, 1942. There was King's Row with Jack Kelly, later be one of the sidekicks on Maverick, in an adaptation of that famous film with Ronald Reagan. And there was Cheyenne. It was a Western about a loner named Cheyenne Bodie, who was raised by Indians when Indians killed his parents, and then at his late teenage years decided to roam the West, taking all sorts of jobs, whether government or just on his own, and helping people in need no matter what. And of the three elements of Warner Brothers Presents, it was Cheyenne that made the biggest mark. So much so that before the end of the first season, King's Row and Casablanca was canceled, and when it came time for season two, Cheyenne was partnered with Conflict, an anthology series. And then at the end of season two, no more Warner Brothers Presents, it was all Cheyenne. And along the way, Clint Walker became a star. He was the kind of Western hero that you really like to see. He was big, tall, handsome, and very soft-spoken, and very, very humble in his own way. In short, he played the character very, very well, and the plots were well done. In fact, in an interview that he gave before he passed away earlier this week to the Academy of American Television, he said in one saying that he was blessed that Warner Brothers gave him the opportunity to do Cheyenne. He'd done odd jobs before, and then he was approached by none other than the famed director Cecil B. DeMille to get involved in one of his pictures, which he did, The Ten Commandments. But it was Cheyenne that brought him worldwide fame. And not only that, it broke the mold for Warner Brothers. It became Warner's meal ticket into television. Not only that, but Cheyenne, in its 7 years on the in 8 years on the air, from 1955 to 1963, became the first hour-long drama, not only in television history, but the first hour-long drama with continuing characters to make it in television history. And Clint Walker was a big reason why. And midway through the run, Clint actually left the show. He was not happy with how he was being paid. He was not happy with different royalty situations. And he was the first star in television to basically say, Warner Brothers, I quit. I deserve better. And that was a big breakthrough, by the way, for actors in television. Another way he set the mold. Ultimately, Walker came back and kept on going with Cheyenne. And Cheyenne, by the way, also gave birth to two other big hits for Warner Brothers, Sugarfoot and Bronco, which ultimately rotated with Cheyenne its final seasons on the air to become The Cheyenne Show. Clint Walker, of course, did other things after he left Cheyenne in 1963. He did films like None But the Brave, the only film that Frank Sinatra ever directed, a Warner Brothers film, by the way. He also did a marvelous family movie that's getting a lot of play now called Night of the Grizzly, and he became famous as one of the Dirty Dozen, one of the great classic action-adventure films of the 1960s. With John Cassavetes and Jim Brown, Trini Lopez, amazing cast, directed by Robert Aldrich. And he also got back into television in the 1970s with a one-season show on ABC called Kodiak. But all along, he kept in touch with his fans. He kept in touch by being at television conventions, Western conventions, even in his mature years, and kept in touch with fans who really enjoyed watching him as one of the great first Western heroes and one of the great pioneers of the adult Western that many people knew from shows like Bonanza, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, and so on. As I mentioned, Clint Walker passed away earlier this week in his 90s. He lived a very full life, and he gave us all a lot of great Western pleasure with his role as Cheyenne Bodie. Unfortunately, you can't go to YouTube to see most of these Cheyenne episodes. You got to go to WarnerArchive.com, which I believe for a fee will allow you to see those episodes of Warner Brothers Western series. And again, if it wasn't for Cheyenne, Warner Brothers would not have developed the reputation it did, not just with Sugarfoot and Bronco, but, of course, Maverick, Colt 45, and Lawman. It all started with Cheyenne, and it all started with Clint Walker. He was a wonderful actor, and I have a sense that if I had the chance to interview him, he would come across as just a nice, regular, normal, albeit tall and handsome guy. Clint Walker, he made Westerns fly. He was one of the pioneers of the adult Western and of the hour-long television drama, and I hope that in his passing, people give him the credit for making that scene happen to the light of millions and millions of television fans back in the 1950s and ever since. Clint Walker passed away earlier this week at the age of 92. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the tube, and we'd love to hear from you. By the way, if we have any Clint Walker fans, Cheyenne fans, Western fans in the audience, we have a few minutes. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You're catching us across the country, all around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is already in the room. And coming up over about 10 minutes or so, we're going down to Washington, D.C., where things are getting ready for the annual Memorial Day Parade. When it comes to Memorial Day, that parade, now in year 15, and by the way, it's happening on the 150th anniversary of the start of this holiday, is the biggest in the bunch of any held in any city across these United States. And I'm not sure if it's the first time it's happened, but certainly it's going to be a very neat time. This time, this parade is going to be simulcast starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time. That is 11 a.m. on the West Coast. It'll be simulcast on television stations around the country and also on YouTube. Some TV stations will carry it live either for 1 or 2 hours. Those stations include WPVI, the ABC station in Philadelphia, WTAE, ABC in Pittsburgh, WBRC, Fox station in Birmingham, Alabama, WUPB, Richmond, Virginia, the CW station, WTOC in Savannah, Georgia, that's independent, and WBXH in Baton Rouge, and another ABC affiliate. Most of the stations that will be carrying the parade will do so on a tape delay basis. Some will do it the following day. Many will do it the following weekend. For example, WABC TV will have the parade on June 2nd at 11:30 a.m. local time. And KNBC in L.A. will have it the next day, that's a Sunday, at 11:30 a.m. WCIU in Chicago and the event station will also have on June 3rd at 1:30 p.m. And this is very interesting. WUSA, the CBS station in Washington, is going to wait until June 16th to run it at 3:30 p.m. Eastern local time. And I want to ask Tim about the discrepancy in all these stations running it live or if they're doing it on tape all over the place. It promises to be a very exciting event. It's being hosted by ESPN SportsCenter anchor Dave Seal, CNN anchor Kira Phillips, and Dean Cain. Some of you, of course, know him from the New Adventures of Superman, The Adventures of Lois and Clark, and also the revival on TBS for a number of years of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And then Gary Sinise, Forrest Gump fame of Mice and Men, is the Grand Marshal, and there'll be some performances, including one by country music star Trace Atkins. So we'll be talking to Tim Hulbert about all of that coming up a little later this half hour. Tell you what, while we wait for Tim, let's do Up as in Update, where we catch up on guests and topics that we've had recently on this program. On May 14th, we introduced you to TaTa2, the latest effort using blockchain and cryptocurrency to launch new entertainment content and, in a first, reward viewers for catching it. Well, we can now introduce you to their first undertaking, Lamborghini, a biopic about legendary car manufacturer and innovator Ferruccio Lamborghini. Antonio Banderas, currently Pablo Picasso on National Geographic's second Genius miniseries, will play the car maker, with Alec Baldwin, yes, of Match Game, and is doing the new talk show this fall on ABC, as Enzo Ferrari. TaTa2 will be a co-producer with Bobby Resco, he's the director who was the Oscar winner for Crash, Tap to Direct. So once again, Lamborghini is going to be the first project of TaTa2. If you want to hear the episode we did with the creator of that venture, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also hear our previous episodes featuring other blockchain cryptocurrency ventures involving television, Singular DTV based here in New York, as well as Live to Your Death based in London. Both of them are also on the progress trail. So if you want to catch all those episodes, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/televised, go to iTunes, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and www.iHeartRadio.com for the iHeartRadio podcast network. When you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, then click, and you are right there along with us. Incidentally, there's two other ventures that we also would like to at some point get on this program. One is MovieCoin out of Hollywood and Group out of Canada. And next week we're going to try to see if we can get the executives behind those ventures to come on our show sometime in June for this summer. And we will, of course, continue to follow what is going on with this whole emerging blockchain cryptocurrency scene. Somebody is going to get the formula for doing this end-to-end process, maybe more than one venture, of doing this end-to-end process of allowing new TV programming to be created, financed, and distributed without an independent, without another middleman or market player, and being using this this blockchain cryptocurrency end-to-end system as the way to do so. So we'll keep you posted. I think this is going to be a very important, before too long, this is going to be a very important story. And who knows, maybe one or more of these, maybe more than one of these ventures will be able to do it. Remember, we are not going to be here on Monday where we normally would at 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, so that you can enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. But we will be with you on Tuesday at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. It's an all-unscripted episode of our show. We will kick it off with Joe Berlinger. He is an award-winning filmmaker, won every award in the book for his work, and he's got a brand-new miniseries that's coming up on Stars. It's called Wrong Man, and it's about people who have been incarcerated for crimes they did not commit. And Berlinger tries to shed the spotlight on those crimes and whether or not, in fact, there is evidence to prove them innocent. He's the executive producer and co-director of the series, which begins in June on Stars. And on the second half of our hour, we will talk to the director of a new History Channel series premiering that night. It's called Hunting ISIS. Where is ISIS at? Well, this series will show you where it is at with director Sebastiano Tamada. That's all coming up on a special time and day, Tuesday. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Remember that day and that special time. 5 p.m. Eastern, near the dinner hour, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And instead, I want to give a shout-out to the folks at LDV Vision Summit. Was there at the SDA Theater, School of Visual Arts Theater on 23rd Street, Manhattan yesterday to catch the TV panels of that event. I want to congratulate Evan Nicholson, who is the person who put this together, along with his crew. Very interesting discussion. I had a chance to pop some questions to a couple of the panels. Very discussion on virtual reality and augmented reality. There still is this sense among VR and AR players that there is no room for a television venture here. And if I may comment for a second, I think that the dependence of these VR players, whether it's content or tech, on having it be through helmets or glasses to get to the American public, I think, frankly, I think they're missing a real opportunity here, because two-thirds of the American public with TV, with households, now have smart TV sets and smart devices. And why can't we use those sets and devices, given the capacity and the capability they have, to put virtual reality, augmented reality program on the TV set, especially when you have an Apple TV, you have Little Star, which we talked about in this program, that can do it. And you can use your Apple TV remote control or Siri to control the set, especially now that we have artificial intelligence like Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, where you can control the set with your voice. Why not try virtual reality or at least 360-degree programming to introduce people, wean them on this process? I just wish that people in the VR and AR world would not dismiss the television set out of hand as a distribution point for their work. There is some turn of the screw here. There are some people, and I think, are starting to see, maybe just maybe, depending on the headset or depending totally, where it is totally, on the glasses or headset may not be the great way to go. Maybe just maybe using the television set in some degree solely, or maybe doing it with the head end of the goggles where you look at the set with the goggles and the glasses on, that may be the way to do it. So don't dismiss that out of hand. And we're going to say it and tune in on this topic as we go along. And I understand there may be I had a chance to meet people from a VR startup that may in fact be doing that. And we'll see if we can stay in touch with them and check if they are going to make that happen. A lot happening in the TV world, I have to say. All sorts of ventures popping up. Use of smart TV sets and smart TV device apps. The use of artificial intelligence, blockchain, cryptocurrency. It's an amazing world that the TV world is popping up as we get into the Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we wish all of you, whether you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker or the iRadio Podcast Network, a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Please make it a safe and great one. And while I have a moment before we get our second guest on, which will be coming on any second, please, a little request. At some point during the weekend, please take a moment to honor and acknowledge the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the nation and the world we want. And please honor their loved ones and their families, too, because they're still thinking, I'm sure they're still thinking of them on this Memorial Day. I can't believe 150 years since Memorial Day was started. Really amazing. Well, as mentioned, when it comes to Memorial Day parades, Washington, D.C. is where you can find the biggest and, for a lot of people, the best. And on a Monday, the Memorial Day Parade will be taking its 15th turn down the streets of Washington, D.C. from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and many TV stations and YouTube will be simulcasting the parade live. Joining us live from the nation's capital, the director of the parade, he is also Senior Vice President of the American Veterans Center, which puts the parade on, Tim Hulbert. Tim, happy holiday weekend to you. Welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tim, is this the first time that the parade is being simulcast on YouTube and on TV stations?
That's right. So the parade is simulcast on YouTube, televised around the country on about 100 different local television affiliates, and also around the world to American Forces Network at every military base and Navy ship at sea.
I want to let folks know that iHeartRadio, where we're carried on their podcast network, is a media sponsor of the parade this year. How has the parade grown over the 15 years that it's been happening?
So it started from nothing, really. The parade started back in 2005. The year previously, 2004, that weekend of Memorial Day, was the dedication of the World War II Memorial right there on the National Mall. And we were asked to help put on a parade for all the World War II vets that were here in town for it. And we said, glad to help. And so we did the parade, and that was Memorial Day morning. And we looked around and said, well, you know, where's the normal Memorial Day parade in Washington? We figured every small town in the country has one. Where was the one in Washington? Turned out there hadn't been one since World War II that we could find. Seemed to have faded away decades previously. So we brought it back in 2005 and started from nothing then. It's really grown into a tremendous event, huge event, and of course, you know, big television program across the country. So something we're real proud of.
Is this the first year that you looked at doing a television broadcast? Had you looked, let's say, over the last couple of years in terms of making something happen?
So it's been televised for a number of years now. This is the first year that it's had a nationwide syndication in the way that we do it right now. But it's been previously televised on cable channels as well as started off probably about 10 years ago. On the old Pentagon channel, which doesn't exist anymore now, but was really a great partner for us in getting off the ground. So the television broadcast has really grown over the last number of years to the point where obviously it's got such a great reach today.
When people think of parades, they think right now of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They think of the Mummers Parade in Philadelphia, which I wish we had live television coverage on New Year's Day. I think it's one of those fantastic parades in terms of pageantry around, or they think of the Turn of the Roses Parade also on New Year's Day. What is the focus of your parade?
So obviously, this being Memorial Day, the real focus is to draw attention to the real purpose of the holiday, which is honoring our fallen heroes from across the generations. This is, like any of those parades, a very highly choreographed program where really what we try to do is tell the story of American sacrifice from the very beginning, from the time of the American Revolution all the way through today. So it's filled with historical reenactors from the Revolution, from the Civil War, working its way through the First World War. And then we have veterans from World War II to the present day and active duty service members. But it's all designed to tell a story and you know, educate Americans who, you know, might not know a lot about our history, giving them just an opportunity to know, you know, where we came from and also appreciate the sacrifices that we've made today. And of course, while making, you know, fun elements too with musical performances and celebrity participation and things along those lines.
And once again, we'll let you know that the parade is being presented on local TV stations across the country. We're going to tell you about some of the stations that will be doing it live, and we'll also be carried on YouTube, which many of you can get if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device. Tim Hulbert is not only the director of the Memorial Day Parade, 2018 edition from Washington, D.C., he is also the Senior Vice President of the American Veterans Center, which puts that parade on. And by the way, if you want to get a full list of all the TV stations that are running the parade, you can go to AmericanVeteransCenter.org. We'll say that again. in the course of the interview. Tim joins us live from the nation's capital this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Tim, don't be shy. Ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You have a very interesting cast that is going to be involved with the parade. In terms of anchors, you've got Sage Steele, the popular ESPN Sports Center anchor. You've got Kira Phillips from CNN, where the anchor is there. And you have Dean Cain, who we all remember still from The Adventures of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman on ABC, which probably many ABC stations are running the coverage in some manner. And also Gary Sinise, the Grand Marshal. And you got Trace Atkins as one of the performers. How do you get talent like that together?
So really, you know, it starts just over the years by building a great reputation of putting together a really, you know, powerful event honoring our heroes. And we found just by over the years and you know, reaching out to all kinds of different celebrities and performers that they're all so eager to, you know, show their support and lend their name and be a part of commemorating that history. So it's really great to see. Is you know, Americans of all backgrounds really kind of on a holiday like Memorial Day, wanting to be a part of telling that story and spotlighting that story of American sacrifice, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. When you put a parade, first of all, how long does it take to put a parade together? And secondly, how do you balance it out so that over the course of 2-3 hours, you have a nice mix of things? You have entertainment, you have floats, you have horses or equestrian groups, you have, and the folks on the march.
Absolutely. So that's a great question, because it is a huge logistical enterprise to pull something like this off. So you're working year round to pull off an event like this. You start, of course, from the early stages of planning, permitting. You know, there's almost 5,000 people that are in the parade itself. So, you know, all of those pieces to pull together is a tremendous amount of work throughout the year. As far as, you know, putting together the show itself, of course, as I mentioned, you know, it is organized as a moving timeline of American military history with those reenactors and veterans and military groups. And exactly right. Throughout, you want to, have different elements that will, one, be both educational. So we'll have short video roll-ins throughout that might tell a story of a fallen hero. Tell a story of American sacrifice, of musical performances that will, you know, a lot of times apply to different parts of the timeline as well. And then, of course, fun elements like, you know, shout outs from celebrities that will be running throughout the show. People like Jack Black, Channing Tatum, Reba McEntire, Conan O'Brien, Ray Romano, Dierks Bentley, a lot of fun, different celebrities who, again, just take a few minutes to you know, tell our military, that they're thinking about them on a day like that. So it's just like any other show. You want to have a nice little bit of variety while at the same time giving them some substance behind it too, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. And what about the parade route? We go from where to where?
So it starts right at the National Archives. It runs right along Constitution Avenue from the National Archives past the White House and ending just past the World War II Memorial on Constitution. So obviously a fitting route when you start at the home of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and have all of our troops and veterans, you know, march past there, past the Washington Monument and the White House. You just can't get a more fitting route on a day like Memorial Day give to these veterans and these service members to, you know, give the public also an opportunity to thank them for what they've done.
Tim, in putting the station lineup together, did you look at trying to get a local station to arrange the lineup or to go to a syndicator like Warner Brothers or Viacom or somebody or Lionsgate, Denver Mercury, to do it, to put the lineup together? And I'm just curious how you were able to get the stations to make a run.
Exactly. It's a we work with a syndicator on that front who puts it all together, working both with individual stations and also station groups as well to get that buy-in and support. And of course, you know, we have a great production partnership with WPVI out of Philadelphia. They've been producing the parade broadcast now for, oh, maybe about 6 or 7 years, and do a great job. Actually, do several national parades a year. For television, and so they're real parade production pros that we work with there, and that of course that helps us out in tapping into a lot of their connections and markets as well. So great mix there. Of course, you know, we coordinate directly with some of the network involvement, American Forces Network, and so on. So it's a bit of a mix to build up something you know, so wide and varied, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, who's the syndicator? I want to make sure that we give the syndicator credit.
Oh, yeah. It's a company called Entertainment Works out of Los Angeles. They do a great job. We've been working with them for a few years now and building everything up. So they do a great job.
So let me tell everybody the stations that are running the show live. You mentioned WPBI, that's the ABC station in Philadelphia. There's WTA in Pittsburgh, another ABC affiliate. There's WBRC in Birmingham, Alabama, Fox. WUPV, that's the CW affiliate in Richmond, Virginia. WTOC in Savannah, Georgia, which is an independent station. And WBXH in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is another ABC station. Now, some of the major markets, in fact, most of the major market stations are not running it live. They are tape delaying it. But what really I find very interesting is the WABC here in New York is waiting until June 2nd, which was Saturday at 11:30 a.m., the preempting ABC, the Lytton World Adventure 3-hour block to do that. KBC in Los Angeles, waiting until Sunday, June 3rd at 11:30 a.m. WCIU, which is an independent in Chicago, also June 3rd at 1:30 p.m. And here's the thing that really surprises me. WUSA, the CBS station in Washington, they're a marvelous, I think one of the best local news stations around, and I'm a bias because I went to school at American University in Washington, D.C. Loved that station for years. They're waiting until June 16th at 3:30 p.m. to run it. Why? Why can't they run it live? I just wonder why these, some of the major market stations don't follow PBI's lead and run the parade live.
Sure. So, well, one of the questions, of course, with and if you know, obviously, you know the television marketplace is with syndicated programming. You know, the positives and negatives involved in that. One of the negatives, of course, is the best time slots are weekend days when they're able to find the time on it. You have so many network commitments and local commitments and contracts on weekday afternoons. And, of course, Memorial Day being a weekday, it's a lot harder to clear the time there. So that's a great opportunity for us, of course, to be on these great stations is to be on time frames that are more favorable for syndication. So, you know, there's you know, positives and negatives, of course, with every arrangement. But that's the real positive is that you get there's no better reach than being on these great, great big stations in these great markets. And we're so thankful to have them. But of course, syndicated programming is best suited for Saturday and Sunday daytime. And hey, that works for us.
And by the way, I should point out, was Lytton's Weekend Adventure. That is when AWBC will cut short at 11:30 on June 2nd, that's a Saturday, to run. By the way, in all those markets that are not running it live, you can catch it on YouTube, and which is running it live. And, of course, that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices going on with their audience. As opposed to YouTube has been saying lately, do catch the service on smart TV sets and smart devices. I want to welcome everybody who is just joining us at the top of the hour. Welcome to Marby Televised, 90-minute edition of the program All About Television. And joining us live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Tim Hover. He is the Senior Vice President of the American Veterans Center. He is also the director of the annual Memorial Day Parade, which for the first time is being simulcast live on many TV stations around the country and on YouTube using the facilities of WPBI, the ABC station in Philadelphia. And Tim joins us live from the nation's capital. Tim, what about sponsorship? I guess there will be commercial breaks on the show. Who is, any sponsors of note that we want to highlight for making the time happen?
Absolutely. You know, something like this can't be done without the support of sponsors, and we have a lot of great sponsors from American Airlines to Wells Fargo, Leidos, Saab, a number of fantastic sponsors. And, of course, I really need to say thousands and thousands of individuals from around the country. You know, this people think that obviously being on Constitution Avenue and being an event of this size, that it's put on by the federal government. When in reality, this is put on by a private nonprofit organization, like you say, the American Veterans Center, and with completely private funding. So that's something we're really proud of course, is that, you know, unlike, you know, a lot of other major events like this, we don't take any taxpayer dollars and no taxpayer dollars are spent on it. And we also do it at a fraction of the cost of a lot of other public events. So we're really grateful to all the thousands of individuals who have made contributions help put the parade on, which I like to encourage anybody to do if they can at nationalmemorialdayparade.com. We welcome your contribution as well to help put the parade on and sustain it for many years to come.
By the way, if you have a question or comment for Tim, give him a call here on Tomorrow Be Televised. The number is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We're also simulcast live on Spreaker.com and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You can also use our chat room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and our friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia, Liberty Bell Land, is already in the room. Tim, you got, as I mentioned earlier, you got some terrific people entertaining, including Trace Atkins. How'd you get him to be part of the program?
Well, I guess the short question is we ask. again, great supporter of the troops. Obviously, well known for his support of the Wounded Warrior Project and other military causes, and worked out on his schedule heading from one event to the other. Worked out and was glad to come on out. So, I mean, really, as I mentioned, that's the real key is just over time, you know, building a reputation for putting on a great program and a great event. And you know, when we make the request, nice enough to say yes. And so that's as simple as it gets right there, I guess you could say.
Tim, for an effort like this, it's making really its national television debut, aside from doing interviews with people like myself, how are you getting the word out to people around the country that this is a new TV option for them?
Absolutely. So there are obviously a lot of different ways, from your traditional press releases and so forth, you know, interviews, but also, you know, of course, the new media and social media opens up so many more opportunities through our social media channels and friends and supporters and participants, social media channels, really trying to get the ground, word out from the ground up. Of course, we do get great news coverage in advance and of the parade itself that you know, really has helped it snowball into being something pretty big. But of course, again, you know, when you're, you know, a nonprofit working to put something like this on, it's not like you're working with giant advertising budgets, and so, you know, you work hard for the coverage you can get, and seems to be going great.
At some point, do you see a tie-in with the Memorial Day concert that PBS has every year? That is one of their most popular programs, from what I understand. Their most popular specials.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a number of the performers every year that you know, participate, I know, in the concert. Of course, Gary Sinise and Joe Mantegna, who host the concert, I know, stick around and participate in the parade. So, you know, there's obviously a lot going on. You know, those are a couple of the big three events in Washington that weekend. Of course, the concert and the parade, and then Rolling Thunder, the big motorcycle event that happens here with hundreds of thousands of motorcycles that come in. Those are sort of like the three cornerstone events of a Memorial Day weekend here in Washington. And so there's obviously a lot of overlap with all three events that go on every year.
I do remind everybody that if you are checking this, if you're going to catch the parade on a local TV station, make sure you check the locals, not only for the local station that's running the parade, but also when they are running it. Some stations are going to simulcast the parade live with YouTube. Some may delay the parade until later in the day. Some may run it next day. As I mentioned, WABC here in New York will run it the following weekend, June 2nd, 11:30 p.m., right after Lytton's Weekend Adventure. And KABC in Los Angeles on Sunday, June 3rd at 11:30 a.m. WSA in Chicago, also June 3rd, 1:30 p.m. And WSA in Washington, D.C., June 16th at 3. I still can't believe that they're waiting that long. I'm sorry. I got a personal thought. USA and D.C., you really should try to do the thing live. Really should. You're in the area, for crying out loud. And I don't think CBS will mind if you take time to do it live or close to live. June 16th, that's a little bit too long. Personal opinion, if you just want to point that out. Tim, do you see this event as being the beginning of maybe a new television outreach for the American Veterans Center? Are they looking at doing other TV projects?
Absolutely. So, you know, this is our oldest TV project. We do a few others throughout the years annually. We've had a couple, of course, standalone documentary programs over the years. But annually, we do three shows. The Memorial Day Parade is our oldest. But then we do two more around Veterans Day as well. One, a television special called The Wounded Warrior Experience. That airs on Fox Business Network every year and spotlights inspiring stories of wounded heroes from the more recent era from Iraq and Afghanistan and since. And that's always a great show. Then we do another show called American Valor, A Salute to Our Heroes, which is a Veterans Day special just spotlighting stories of heroes from World War II to the present day. Really great support for that. Last year's program we do little short narrations introducing these stories, introductions from George Clooney and Tom Cruise and Liam Neeson and Gary Sinise and Ellie Kemper and Diane Lane and many, many more, hosted by Bear Grylls last year. So really that's been our other sort of cornerstone show right around Veterans Day, and a similar model to what we do on the parade as far as the syndication distribution, which we've just started taking it out there to get that wider audience.
I see America's – I think we did a segment on this program about America's Valor a year or two back, and it's a terrific show that deserves, I think, a lot more attention than it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember we chatted a few months ago when we last Veterans Day when it came out, and really proud of where it's gone. That is a very recent show. We just started doing it a couple years ago, and it's really kind of taken off. And again, I think it's another example of, with spotlighting heroes and getting these stories out is something that Americans can really rally behind. And great support from celebrity participants just to want to help spotlight these heroes at a time when everybody's paying attention, and obviously for veterans and military, it's Memorial Day and Veterans Day when Americans are really going to pay that extra attention.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, does Washington have a Veterans Day parade, and is that something that your organization or maybe in partnership with other organizations might look into if it isn't happening now, maybe starting is a similar parade for Veterans Day that also can be simulcast around the country?
There's been some talk about Veterans Day parades, and there may have been one that was held here several years ago. But, there's not been a regular Veterans Day parade in the District of Columbia. Now, one parade is difficult enough to pull off, so adding a second would be tough. And plus, I know as far as Veterans Day parades go, more on the East Coast, the New York parade is kind of known as the big parade around. So I think that's the one that sort of is currently getting the attention and seems to be growing there. But of course, if there was one in Washington, we're always glad to support and get behind it. Taking on the organization of it, that would be a little bit of a heavy lift for us at the moment.
Yeah. What is the easiest thing about putting a parade like this together, and what is the toughest thing in terms of organization or figuring out who's going to be in, who's not going to be in, who comes, who goes first, who goes second, how do you end the parade, how do you start it in terms of talent?
Right.
I'm talking about both logistics and also quality of content.
Right, right. Well, so easy is always a tough question because, in the end, nothing has really been easy with it. I will say over the years, it's just like building any big program or project. I mean, it's all hard to really get it going. But over the years, one thing that's become much easier is that because it is something that has gotten to the size that it is, getting the structure of it, knowing how you're going to organize it, becomes much more plug and play over time. So that part of it is quite a bit easier, and getting that support from the great reenactor groups and the military units and things like that, it's gotten much easier over time. Of course, like anything, securing your funding is always hard work and something that really is something you have to really work on every year. So the challenging part is on that. It never really ends. And again, when you're doing something on Constitution Avenue, right in the middle of Washington, as you can imagine, even though the cost relative to some of the other major parades or major public events in Washington is extremely low, relative in the aggregate. I mean, it is still a lot that you have to raise to do it. So the funding is always a you know, of course, a challenge that you have to focus on. And again, why we you know, work all kinds of angles on that, between the corporate sponsorships to the individual donations to pull it off.
And before we leave you, Tim, what is like the next big outreach effort for your center? What's another big project that you're going to be tackling after Memorial Day?
So our year works in almost like 6 month cycles here. By the time we finish up with Memorial Day, we'll be switching straight to our Veterans Day programming that we do. Now, we do oral history collection with veterans all year round, which you can check out at AmericanVeteranCenter.org. Some really fantastic stories that we've captured from veterans from basically every era, as well as some of our other documentary work. So that's always going all year round. But really, you know, Memorial Day and the National Memorial Day Parade is our one big show, and then we move right on into looking at the Veterans Day shows with the Wounded War Experience and American Valor. And so we'll be really getting the heavy production on American Valor, really starting on Tuesday, May 29th. We'll be turning our attention to that.
There you go. Again, the 2018 National Memorial Day Parade is getting national coverage for the first time. And here are the stations again that are going to be running it live, simulcasting with YouTube: WPVI in Philadelphia, WTA in Pittsburgh, WBRC in Birmingham, Alabama, WUPV in Richmond, Virginia, WTOC in Savannah, Georgia, WBXH in Valley Center, and other stations around the country, ABC, CBS, NBC affiliates, CW, My Network, Independent as well. Check your local listings for the station in your area and also when it is running. As I said, some stations are running live, some stations are running 1 hour, some are running the full 2 hour telecast with YouTube, some are delaying it. Again, here in New York, WABC TV, Saturday, June 2nd, after Lit Weekend Adventure at 11:30 a.m. local time. KBC Los Angeles, Sunday, June 3rd, 11:30 a.m. CIU in Chicago, June 3rd at 1:30 p.m. Chicago time. And WSA in Washington, June 16th at 3:30 p.m. And again, it is simulcast on YouTube. Again, check your local listings for the station and the time and day in your area. For more details about the program online and a full list of all the stations that are running the parade, go to www.AmericanVeteranCenter.org. It's www.AmericanVeteranCenter.org. And if you want to make a donation to the parade to keep it going for years to come, NationalMemorialDayParade.org?
NationalMemorialDayParade.com.
.com. Okay, NationalMemorialDayParade.com. Again, NationalMemorialDayParade.com and AmericanVeteranCenter.org for the details of what this center does year-round for the great work for American veterans all over the place. Tim Olbert, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the flight on Monday. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program. And all the very best to you and your fellows at the center for great, great work to honor American veterans year-round.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, and I appreciate the thoughts. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a super weekend and a fantastic time Monday.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Tim Olbert from the American Veterans Center and the National Memorial Day Parade of Washington, D.C., joining us live from the nation's capital. And one more time before we leave you for this Memorial Day weekend, let's give you the classic trivia question of the week. On the TV series New Girl, where did New Girl live before moving to Los Angeles? Where did New Girl live before moving to Los Angeles? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're from. And if you're first with the correct answer before our next episode on Tuesday afternoon, you'll win the special paperback edition of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley from National Geographic. And by the way, next week, we hope to have a prize from Shark Week, which is coming on year 30 on Discovery Channel. So hopefully we'll tell you about that on our episode next Tuesday. So once again, Frankenstein, I'm Mary Shelley. That's our prize for our classic question this week. You can win it if you're first with the correct answer. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you just missed the question, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on my Twitter handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, be in so that you can win. Remember, we are back with you, not Monday, but Tuesday of next week, special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Our guest for this all-unscripted episode, Joe Brozier, the award-winning filmmaker of the New Stars miniseries, Wrong Man. He's executive producer and co-director. And then, from the new History Channel series, premiering Tuesday night, Hunting ISIS, director Sebastiano Tormata. That's all on Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Remember those special times right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And then we start June on June 1st at a regularly Friday day at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed or hear our show again, we have some fun people on the show today. Well, check us out whenever you like at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, the podcast version is available at YouTube. Podcast version is available at iTunes.com, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, the Spreaker podcast radio app, and iHeartRadio.com's podcast network. For the latter, go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televised in the search box, click and you're in. And if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. As always, we love hearing from you, really. Well, we want to make this show as interactive as possible, both on and off the air. And the way you do it is you get involved. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please remember to put your name and where you're from, and I do return emails within 24 hours. That's how I get involved with the Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and also I get involved in a regular feature we do called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention by anybody? Well, we'll give it the attention, but you got to let us know, and if you do, we'll give you the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views presented on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Any show is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company, and proud development partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival, coming back to the Big Apple this July. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Everyone at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio wishes you and your family and friends a sensational Memorial Day holiday weekend. Please make it safe and great. And when you get a chance, please remember the women and men who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the great nation and the great world that we do, and we really, really do. So again, have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Spend it wise, spend it safe, spend it great. And we'll be back with you on the other end Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.